Father, we thank you as Almighty God that we can come to you. Lord, we can come to you with our fears, with our pain. We can also come to you with our hope and our joy, knowing that our joy and our hope can only be found in you. Lord, I pray for our nation, and I pray for our world. Lord, as we consider the effects of coronavirus and the physical effects that have taken place, and also the financial and emotional effects, we just pray for your healing and your help. But Lord, as we also see what's taking place in many cities across our nation, I pray for wisdom for our authorities. Lord, we're called to pray for our authorities. I pray that you would just give them wisdom and guidance. We pray for those who are called to protect. I pray that you would give them strength and wisdom. And Lord, we pray for those who are struggling and angry, Lord, that they would see your peace. And we know it's only through you that we can have true peace. And Lord, we just pray for each and every one. We thank you that we have hope in you. And I pray that we would be the lights in a dark world, that people would see your love, your grace, and your holiness as we strive to live lives in service to you and love to others. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're continuing on our series, 2020 Vision. And if you remember back to the first week of January, we were going to do a series throughout the year and look at it a little bit, and then a little more and a little more. And we're using the story of Nehemiah as a reminder of vision and the importance of seeing what God would have us do and then striving to accomplish those goals. And it only can be done through his power and for his glory. So as we begin, I want you to think of a big goal or a project that you have had. So as you think about that, I want you to think about some of the obstacles that you faced. So as you think about it, we recognize that whenever we attempt to do something big, there's going to be obstacles. God desires to use us to further his kingdom. And he has given us spiritual gifts. He's given us passions. He's given us abilities. He's given us experience. He's prepared us for that. But oftentimes, as we look at what God would have us to do, we can become overwhelmed and question whether we're prepared or able to do it, or the impact that it'll have. But God has directed us as a church, and he has directed each of us as individuals, as followers of him, that we're called to seek out his vision for our lives. And so throughout this year, we've been examining vision. And we look at Nehemiah. God gave him a vision to see the walls rebuilt. And if you think about it, recognizing that in that time frame, walls around a city were vital for defense. And they were also a sign of strength and ability. And oftentimes people would look and see what was taking place with a group of people, and whether they were being dominated, that must mean their God was weak. Or if they were strong, that means their God or gods were strong. And so as Nehemiah recognized what was taking place in Jerusalem, he saw that not only were they defenseless because their walls were broken down, but they were also seen, and God was seen as a weak God because of what had taken place in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah gave up his position as cupbearer of the king to go to Jerusalem and to lead the rebuilding of the walls. And if you remember, we looked at at Nehemiah's faith in God and his continual prayer, and we saw the idea of mission, vision, and values, and these things that Nehemiah had placed in his life and challenged the people of Israel to place in their life to accomplish the tasks that God had laid out for them to accomplish. But this week, we're going to look at some of the obstacles. And these obstacles become evident in Nehemiah chapter 4. If you remember the first few chapters, we see that Nehemiah first went and he looked at what was taking place in the wall. It was a complete mess. And he would go out at night and examine what was taking place. He'd got the blessing of the king to go to his homeland, Israel, and specifically to Jerusalem. And so as God had prepared the heart of the king and the queen to allow him to go, a foreign and a pagan king, to allow him to go and do the work of God, and not only allow him, but to protect him from the enemies that surrounded them. So we see all this is taking place, and Nehemiah saw God's hand. And so they began the work of the wall. But as in any big project, as God gives us vision, as gives us tasks that we're to accomplish, there will always be obstacles. Satan won't just step back and say, okay, it's all right, go ahead. And we see that taking place here in Nehemiah chapter 4. There were enemies that were all around that did not want the walls rebuilt. To the north were Sanballat and the Samaritans. To the east, Tobiah and the Ammonites. To the south, Geshem and the Arabs. And to the west, the Ashdodites. And so Nehemiah and the people had an immense project and powerful enemies. There were many obstacles that they had to overcome to fulfill the vision that God had given for them. So we see here in chapter 4 some of these obstacles. The first obstacle comes up immediately, and that's the obstacle of ridicule. Anything big that we desire to do will bring resistance. Sanballat and the others ridiculed Nehemiah and the people. Sanballat said they're feeble, the wall would be inadequate, and the materials substandard. Look at the verses 1 through 3 of Nehemiah chapter 4. It says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. So they ridiculed the work. It's interesting, as you look at what's happening in our nation, there's people that are ridiculing, mocking, going against the things that we stand for as a nation. And so we see that Nehemiah and the people were facing this ridicule, and you'll read through chapters 4 through 6, and you'll see that ridicule continually coming up and coming up. But we can guarantee that whenever we attempt to do something, there will be those around us, and oftentimes there will be people that will be supposedly part of our team that will cast doubt on our abilities, and they will question the final product or the materials or talent available. And when you've done a big project, you've realized these people. And I think there's two different types of people that are ridiculing the work. There's the pessimist. They're the people that always look at the cloud, never the silver lining. They're the ones that see the glass half empty, not half full, right? We can think, when I mention the word pessimist, you may be thinking in your job, yeah, I know exactly who that is. This project will never work. or maybe in a community thing you're doing, and it's that person that's always just pouring cold water on anything you desire to do. But we also see that spiritually. There's people that are saying, well, it'll never work. You know, I think the pessimist can easily be ignored or their obstacle overcome because you're just saying, you know, I knew they'd say that. It's okay. I'll just ignore it. But the ones that are really hard are the realist, right? And they start out by saying, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. What's the next word? But, right? Oh, that's a great idea, but I don't know if we can afford that. Or, that's a great idea, but is it really going to make a difference? That's a great idea, but... And the realists oftentimes are the ones that can just really tear us down and destroy our desire and our work. And oftentimes the realists are the ones that are standing next to us in the battle. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible tells us before, uses the example in Proverbs, before you go to war, you better count your soldiers and the enemies. We need to plan. We need to think. But oftentimes those people around us, and you'll see, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, in chapter 6, Sanballat comes alongside like he's a friend. But he doesn't have the same goal. And he's attempting to discourage Nehemiah and the people from the incredible task that God has given to them. As we look at the world today, we must call out to God and not be deterred by the pessimist or the realist. How did Nehemiah respond? We see that he responded to the ridicule by calling out to God and asking for his help against the attack of the enemy. We read the first three verses, but in verses 4 and 5, we see that Nehemiah pours out his heart to God. And when we're in the midst of the battle and the ridicule's coming, we need to go to our source of not only hope, but our source of strength. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. We also see discouragement. Anything that is big will take hard work and sacrifice. But oftentimes we become tired and overwhelmed. Look at verse 10, Nehemiah chapter 4. It says, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. And there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. There was so much from the walls had been destroyed before. It's like everybody's tired. Everybody's discouraged. There's so much junk all over the place. We can't accomplish the task. Discouragement can happen any time during the project. But how did Nehemiah respond to the discouragement? He responded to the discouragement by reminding the people of the importance of the project and the power of God. God gives us a mission as a church. We talk about the terms worship, grow, and share. And that's what we're called to do, and we strive to grow as individuals in our relationship with God. We desire to grow as families. We desire to grow as a church family. We desire to reach out to our community and to our world. And we do those things, but oftentimes in the midst of what we're called to do, we can become discouraged. The job seems too large, and we're just tired. But Nehemiah reminded them of two things, the importance of the job and the power of God. And that's what we need to recognize also. And as we look at our world today, we must not be discouraged. We must recognize that God is still on the throne and desires to work through us, and what he has called us to do is the most important thing that we can ever do. We see a third obstacle, and that's that of fear. Anything big requires us to step out and to risk. And risk often invokes fear. Look at verses 11 and 12. It says, "And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So the adversaries are saying, hey, we're going to sneak in and wipe you out. So it was when the Jews, and now this is part of the group, when the Jews who dwelt near them came, and they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. So they had the ones living in Jerusalem, and they had the ones living in the surrounding area. The enemy was making threats. Sanballat, Tobiah, and the peoples around them, their enemies, were making the threats. But then even part of the group, those who were living outside of Jerusalem, were saying, oh no, they're going to come and wipe us out. We better not do anything big. We don't want to stir up the enemies. And it says they said it 10 times. The idea of over and over and over again. The fear that can take place. And it goes on. Verse 12, so it was when the Jews who dwelt near us came, and they told us those 10 times, from whatever place they will be upon us. And so they would continually, throughout those next chapters, so many of the people would say, oh no, what are we going to do? The enemy is too strong. The enemies had threatened that surprise attack, and the Jews continually complained. How did Nehemiah respond? Nehemiah responded by implementing a strategy to work and to protect at the same time, and also a challenge to fear not, because God is great. Look at what he says in verses 13 and 14. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders of the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. But as we look at our world today, we must look to God for our vision, and we must trust him rather than fear failure. So we see another obstacle was the obstacle of selfishness as we go into chapter 5. Whenever something big is attempted, sacrifice is required. Selfishness can creep in, and it can cause us to look at what we want rather than what we're called to do. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 1 says this, and there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against the Jewish brethren. We see this in what's taking place in our nation today, don't we? Selfishness. A desire to get what I want, what makes me feel better. Or also the idea of saying, I'm just going to step aside, because I don't want to make the effort. So it's interesting, if you read these next verses in chapter 5, you'll see that there were different groups of people that demonstrated their selfishness. Some complained that they didn't have as much as the others. Some complained that they felt their sacrifice was more than the sacrifice of those around them. Some of them complained that they were not paid for what they provided. They were all complaining about what they didn't have or what they had to do, and comparing themselves to their neighbor and saying, well, they're not sacrificing as much as I am, or they have more than I do. And so we see that selfishness that creeps up, that keeps us from accomplishing the tasks that God has called us to accomplish. How did Nehemiah respond? He responded by challenging them to think of others rather than themselves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm called to reach out and serve others. As we look at our world today, we must see the needs of others and have an attitude of service and sacrifice rather than selfishness. As we continue on in chapter 5, we see another obstacle, and that's the obstacle of deception. And actually, we're going to head into chapter 6. When we attempt something big, there will be distractions and deception. Sanballat, as he saw the people rallying together, seeing the importance of the job and the power of God, as Nehemiah continually put that before them, Sanballat turned to another tactic. And that was of deception. So what he did, he pretended to be their friend, and he said, let's get together and work out how we can make this a wonderful place. But Nehemiah recognized that Sanballat had devious plans and desired to destroy the work. Notice verses 1 through 4 of chapter 6. It says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors of the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. But why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times and I answered them the same manner. Nehemiah saw through the deception and that Sanballat had, and he reminded him that he was busy doing the work that God had called him to do. As we look at our world today, we must realize the importance of our task and not be distracted from the mission to which we are called. Now, our mission, our distraction may not be a Sanballat who's desiring to deceive us and destroy the work. It's just things that take our time and keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Oftentimes good things, but good things that keep us from doing the vital and best things. And we see a final distraction, and that's the distraction of slander. When we attempt something big, others may slander or question us. Sanballat then began to tell lies about Nehemiah. He claimed that Nehemiah was planning a rebellion and that he, being Nehemiah, was going to make himself king. Look at verses 5 through 9 of chapter 6. It says, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hand to let everybody know. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king, so come therefore and let us consult together. Then I sent to him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they are all were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Nehemiah responded by denying Sanballat's claim and calling upon God to help. And as we look at our world today, we must focus on our character. We must do what's right with a right attitude. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and all their people spent their time trying to destroy the work that God had called Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem to accomplish. As we desire to honor God and fulfill his mission and his vision for our church, we must recognize that there will be an enemy that desires to destroy the work, but we must focus on recognizing that the work is large, but our God is greater. And we can have our hope and faith in him, and we must recognize that he will give us the strength, the abilities to accomplish the task, and our goal is to accomplish the task for his goal or for his glory, to impact our own lives as we grow in Christ, our community and our world, as we reach out and serve others through the love of Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't got to the point yet, so I'm going to ruin the story. They completed the wall in 52 days. amazing, miraculous. But we see the power of God and the hope that we have in Him. And it says that the world around saw the power of God through the work of Nehemiah and the people. We desire to have the world around us see the power of God as He works in our lives and through our lives for the glory of His kingdom. You know, we must trust God for strength. We must trust Him for our direction. We must work hard and then watch God accomplish the task. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Help us to honor You in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, again, we pray for our nation, for our leaders. Lord, help us as Your followers to be the light You've called us to be. And Lord, You've given us tasks. You've given us, as the church, a mission to worship, grow, and share, and a vision on reaching out to the world around us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to glorify You. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.